Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Comic Source. I'm your host, Jace, here with another creator-owned spotlight. We're going to talk about a book called The Fury, The Maelstrom. It's on Zoop. The campaign is live. If you're hearing this, that means the campaign is live. It's an interesting project. It's written by a novelist by the name of M.H. Colley, and the different chapters are all illustrated by different artists, and we have one of those artists joining us today. Thank you for taking the time, Jordan Brown.
Hi, Jace. How are you doing?
Great, appreciate you joining. I don't know much about this project other than kind of the elevator pitch, if you will. Apparently, a woman, she's on a journey toward revenge. This is not a story of redemption. She feels like she has nothing left to lose, and she's going to kind of let her anger out. So, give us your perspective on the story, kind of in your own words. What do you think the story's about?
I would say it's like a mix between John Wick and Kill Bill.
Okay.
Like, yeah, there's not a whole lot of like catharsis that happens until the very end, kind of. It's like a bittersweet ending kind of thing. I personally really like it because there's just so many bad things that happen to this character, and she's working towards her goal of not really righting the wrong, but feeling vindicated that the wrongs that were done to her are righted or justified.
Yeah, I mean, would you say in a way it's like one of those things that's as a reader sort of relatable, right? Like the things you wish you could say or the things you wish you could do, like you get cut off in traffic and you wish you could really make the other person pay. Sort of that type of thing, right?
Yeah, but I guess higher stakes. I mean,
Right.
I'm from Texas, so that's just kind of what people do here.
Well, why don't you tell us how you got involved in the project?
It was actually a series of connections that I made. I was really fortunate to be friends with someone that was associated with Cadence. That's a group of people that help artists do tables at conventions and sell their commissioned artwork. And Liana Kangas happened to be one of those artists. And I was invited to go to GalaxyCon Austin, where I hung out for the weekend. I wasn't tabling and got to know her. And she thought my art was good enough and passed it along to MH. And here I am now.
Yeah, so I mentioned that each of the chapters is being illustrated by a different artist, kind of a different style, whatever. It's a very unique take. So when you got involved, was it a matter of MH choosing the artists and what for each chapter? Was it a collaborative process? Like, how did you go about getting assigned kind of the part of the story that you ended up with?
So the whole script is divided into specific issues, kind of how an issue would be if you picked one up at a comic store, like a set of pages. And so when she finished the script, she kind of had how she wanted it to look in mind. And when she was choosing her artists and when she knew people were on board, she was able to pick out the specific issues that she thinks the artist would shine best at. Because I was assigned one issue before, and she emailed me and was like, "Actually, I think you would be really great on this issue." And I totally agree, having read through the script and done a couple of test pages. I'm pretty excited to finish it all.
Were there any particular challenges in doing it this way? Like, did you have to talk to the other artists about, okay, well, we're all doing our own thing in our own style in service to telling the same story, but like visually in terms of like maybe clothes or the way certain things look or hairstyles and that sort of thing? Was there a lot of back and forth between the different artists to kind of make sure you guys were all on the same page with those sorts of things?
Yes, actually, that was one of the first things I talked to MH about when we started doing our pages, I was like, she changes outfits a lot here, but she's mostly like in the same jacket. Is there a character sheet that I need to go off of? And she was like, you know what? I'll commission you to do those. So I actually was the one that ended up making a character sheet of all of her the main characters' outfits, the side characters, and the villains. That way, the colors and hairstyles could more or less be the same, depending on the art person's style. So that was pretty fun because I was like getting to decide what the tattoo looked like or what patches went on the jacket, kind of thing.
Was it a situation when you're doing the character design where you went back and forth with MH, or did she just kind of turn you loose and say, well, you know what the story is? I kind of trust you to come up with a consistent look.
Kind of both. I read through the story completely and I was making notes about specific outfit changes and how it was described. And then so I kind of just did my initial draft. She approved it. And then when I got more tied into there, she was like, not necessarily nitpicky, but was like, hey, I think this character's outfit would look more like this. So I would change it a little bit. This character would wear a crop top instead of button up kind of thing. But she was pretty pleased with my thought process, so there wasn't too much back and forth. Because I personally really like character design, so I was trying to really make sure that this was what her vision was.
Gotcha. Well, being that you did the character designs and kind of established the look, were there other artists when they got their chapters that reached out to you and were asking questions, kind of picking your brain to make sure that everybody was staying consistent?
No, actually, I only know one of the artists, Liana Kangas, that's on the project, like personally. I follow the other artists, but I'm not really in contact with them. But I'm sure if they did contact me, they'd go through MH.
Gotcha. So, were there any other challenges in taking on a project like this, like as opposed to something else where you're kind of establishing the look and feel, the whole story is your style? Anything you kind of challenges that you weren't expecting?
That's a really good question. Yes and no. MH is a really excellent script writer. So when I was doing it, it felt really cohesive that when it changed to the artist, it wouldn't be like, whoa, that doesn't make any sense kind of thing. So it was more like challenging wise. Making sure the action sequences, I feel, kind of were the same level of punchy because it's a very action-packed story. So you want to make sure that everything has the same stakes.
Is that easier to do than something that's a little more like emotional, sort of talking heads? I know it's visually, I've heard from artists, it's kind of hard to make things interesting when it's just two people sitting in a room talking for, two or three pages. Action is a little easier in storytelling wise. Is that accurate?
No, not at all. Like with talking heads, it's like when you kind of learn how to draw heads and like neutral expressions or just kind of still shots are one of the things that you learned first. And so with action sequences, it's a lot of foreshortening, like making sure that it's the appropriate size
Gotcha.
or like different angles to really have the impact that you're wanting it. Like if she's got a gun or something, you don't want her to just like have it straight to the side. You want to have like an action shot, like who is she shooting at? Like is it from the perspective of her shooting it or the person being shot kind of thing?
Gotcha. So technically tougher to do, even though storytelling wise, it might be a little more kind of fun, right? Action sequences, and it's not just drawing the same thing over and over.
Yes, but challenging in the way that it's like there's more buildings and more things in the background that tend to be more of a focus.
Gotcha.
But it just depends.
Well, the story certainly sounds like it's very kind of female empowering. You mentioned Kill Bill or a female version of John Wick, if you will. Again, giving agency to somebody, and maybe they're not doing the right choice, making the right choices per se, but you can root for them because you can see yourself in their shoes, and they're uninhibited and doing the thing that maybe we all wish we could do. So when you read the story, were you just really excited to dive in? Like, was it kind of inspiring, and kind of energizing to tell a story like this?
Yes. Well, my personal bias is when she pitched it to me, she was like, it's the lesbian version of Kill Bill, because I really only like doing projects where there's lesbians in it, as someone who is of that persuasion.
Right.
So I was honestly immediately on board. I'm like, angry lesbians that get revenge? That's every media I've ever watched.
Right.
So I was really on board at the very beginning, like that's all she needed to say.
Well, being that it's that you're coming at it from that perspective, not to be like too politically correct about it or what have you. We talk all the time about how representation in comics has gotten better than it used to be, but there's still such a long way to go. You must feel that it's important for somebody to be able to pick up a comic. There's got to be a comic on the shelf for everybody, right? Like something that you can pick up and read and relate to the character. It makes it that much easier to put yourselves in their shoes instead of every superhero being, random, straight, white male, for example. So, I'm sure you grew up, drawing and reading comics and what have you. It must be a lot easier now, right, to find things that speak a little more to who you are.
I actually work at a comic store. So I basically get firsthand on what comes in each week. So it's really interesting to see like the differences between like the new Deadpool issue that came out Wednesday versus what's one of the ones? The Time Traveler Tales, which is more not LGBT focused, but it's more along the lines of like queer people would gravitate towards that book more than Deadpool. It is much easier to find queer comics online though. Because there's just so many websites that can tailor to that thing you're looking for, but they're not like retail stores like the comic place I work at or anything. But there is a lot, and any queer individual has no lacking for comics, like Webtoons or Hiveworks kind of thing. Though, the published ones could stand to have more. You're right. There is a lot of cisgender white men.
Yeah, and I think it's just when it comes to things like the big two, again, it's gotten better, but still a long way to go. And it's just sort of like they've been doing it this way for so long. It's, and they're owned by big corporations now, which are always resistant to change because they're, worried about the bottom line. But yeah, I mean, from my perspective, as somebody who's been reading for 40 years, it is, much more widely accepted and easier to find. But yeah, you're 100% correct that easier to find them digitally, Webtoon, like you mentioned, or Tapas as well, even Comixology to some extent. But I think it is getting better, and it's important to kind of have these conversations. I talk to my I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I talk to her all the time about not just comics, but just story in general, whether it be, live action or, she's reading a novel or what have you. And it's like Marvel used to brag about being the world outside your window, but if you go back and look at those old comics, man, there's nobody of, of any other color other than, white guy. It's like, how is this the world outside your window? So I think telling stories like this, granted, it's, kind of a fantasy revenge, being able to do the things that you wish you could do if you were wronged. So I don't know how realistic that is, but just in terms of making sure the world is really represented by a diverse number of individuals, I think that's really important. Wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree. Like, revenge stories aren't necessarily reinventing the wheel, but a lesbian revenge story is significantly less reinventing the wheel than just the common trope.
Right.
So it's something more fresh than if it was just, I mean, Keanu Reeves is not really a good example because everyone loves him, but a white man on a revenge path.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's a beloved property, and rightfully so. Kill Bill has its followers as well. Yeah, you mash those two together, you start talking about, you know, a same-sex relationship gone wrong and these two, you know, women out to get one another. I mean, that's just, it's just great. It just, you know, it sounds fun. Those are two properties, Kill Bill and John Wick, that people, you know, are familiar with. And so, you know, I think it's a great way to introduce the book. So, I'll remind everybody. So we did hope to have MH on to talk a little more in depth with the story, but we just couldn't make that happen. So I want to thank you, Jordan, for taking the time. And I also want to remind all the listeners, as I always do, when we have these crowdfunded campaigns, maybe this sounds like it's right up your alley, right? But times are tight and you just don't have the means right now, as much as you'd love to join the campaign and be part of the community for the Fury and the Maelstrom. The other way that you can help out MH and Jordan and the rest of the artists on the project, other than supporting it directly, is to just share it on social media, right? Especially if you know somebody
Yes.
that likes these kind of stories, somebody who likes queer comics. Maybe they don't aren't even aware there are queer comics, but you know that's their lifestyle, and you know this would be perfect for them. But we got to spread the word. We got to get this in front of many eyes as possible. So anybody who wants to join the campaign can. So again, we appreciate everybody who goes and checks out the campaign. There's a link in the show notes. And if you decide it's not for you, or like I said, you wish you could join, but you just don't have the means right now, just share it, let your comic shop know. That way we can get as many eyes on this as possible. So again, Jordan, I want to really thank you for your time. Why don't you let everybody know? Well, first of all, let me throw it over to you. Anything else you want anybody to know about this project or any of your other work?
Well, obviously, share it on social media. Please, please, we really want to get this funded. It's going to be super amazing. We're doing everything we can. Oh, Lord, now you put me on the spot. I had them all prepared. Yeah, I mean, this project is going to be really fun. I draw a lot of women on my own social media if you're interested in that. I think most of the other artists do too. There should be a list of all of those on our campaign page. You should check them all out individually, kind of see if they're at a convention near you. You can personally handshake them for making amazing art.
Where's the best place
Otherwise,
online, social media wise, to follow your work?
Instagram. I post a lot on Twitter, but it's kind of I'm just silly on there.
Yes.
More portfolio side is my Instagram.
Gotcha. And what's the Instagram handle?
Vain City with a V.
Gotcha. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes, everybody, as well as a link to the campaign. So if you're having trouble or you just want to go having trouble finding Jordan, you want to go and check out her art, just go to that link and check it out. So again, best of luck with the campaign, Jordan. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much. I really had fun doing this.
Great.
Thank you.
And to all you listeners, we want to say thank you as well. We appreciate you joining. As always, don't forget, link in the show notes. Go check out the campaign. Spread the word. Let's make sure we get this one across the finish line. So that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. We will talk to you next time.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
You can find the Comic Source podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter.
twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.